Christmas has always been a time for me of having difficulty waiting. When I was a boy, I wanted to know what my family was getting me for Christmas, and I would take a razor. Sorry, Mom, if this is the first time you're hearing this. I would take a razor, and I would cut along the folded edges on the side of the packaging very, very neatly, and I would then fold out the present just enough so I could see what it was that I was getting. I would fold it back very carefully and get a piece of tape that was exactly the same size as the piece of tape I cut and put it back, meticulously lined up, so nobody ever knew that I knew. I just couldn't wait. You know, Chris, we count down the days to Christmas. We sing about the 12 days of Christmas. We don't count down for any other holiday. We don't say, it's just 12 days to the 4th of July. But we count the days of Christmas. And I learned as a kid that waiting is hard. A woman named Kathy Rinder tells a story of being in a grocery store at Christmas time with her 3-year-old daughter, Avery. Kathy spotted a coloring book that she thought, that'll make a great stocking stuffer for Avery. And she tried to slip it under the groceries, but Avery, she knew something was up. And she would not let up. Mama, what are you hiding? Mama, what is that? Mama, what are you putting under the groceries? So she finally pulled it out after intense questioning. And she told her, she said, honey, I was going to give this to you on Christmas Day. And then her heart melted as her 3-year-old daughter Avery said, Mama, I have so many presents under the tree. I don't need this for Christmas Day. And then she reached out and grabbed it and said, I need it right now. And isn't it true that Christmas reminds us it's hard to wait? But here's the thing. Waiting is a critical part of our relationship with God, because the Bible says to please God, we must live by faith. And what is faith? Faith is living in the space between when a promise is made and when a promise is kept. And if a promise has not been, or hasn't been made, then there's really nothing to believe. And if a promise has already been kept, then you're not walking by faith, you're walking by sight. And faith is living in between that space of when a promise has been made and a promise is waiting to be kept. And what we're going to do today is we're going to learn from two expert waiters. We're going to add two more characters to our nativity, two more extras. And their names are Simeon and Anna. And they belong in the nativity. They were with the Christ child long before the wise men were. And they knew something about waiting because they had been doing it for a very long time. Let me show you what I mean. We're going to read from Luke chapter 2. Pick it up in your own Bible. Luke chapter 2, verse 25 is where we'll begin. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was a righteous and devout man and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there, and he took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel. So Mary and Joseph walk into the temple, like every Jewish couple does, on the 8th day to circumcise the baby and present him to the Lord. And this old guy just walks up and grabs their baby and starts singing. That's not weird. Says a little bit later in verse 36, Anna, a prophet, who was there also in the temple, she was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher. She was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years. And then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. And she came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. And she talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. Now, that may seem weird, but actually the Bible is full of stories of people who needed to add some extra weight. And the redemption story starts with God calling a childless man named Abraham. And he told him to leave his country and his family. And he promised him that one day he would be given a son. And it was years between the day that promise was made and the day that promise was kept. Joseph had dreams of his brothers bowing down and submitting to his rulership, but it was years and some very tough times before that promise was kept. David was anointed to be king of Israel, but it was years and some very hard moments running from Saul before he was ever on the throne. You see, here's the thing. When God makes a promise, he very rarely gives a timeline of when he intends to keep that promise. And here's what happens. In between the space when the promise is made and when the promise is kept, life happens. And life can be tough. And life can diminish faith. And it can increase despair. I want you to write this down for me. Life reminds us that hope is hard. Think about these two. The promise of a coming Messiah to rescue Israel is hundreds of years old. And on top of that, they are living in a land that is occupied by a cruel foreign empire that is taxing them into poverty. Their religious leadership is corrupt. They have not heard a prophetic voice in several hundred years, and there is no indication that things are ever going to get better. But these two old people, Simeon and Anna, are holding on to this promise of God, a promise made that looks to some will never, ever be kept. Simeon and Anna did not let the hard erode their hope. By the way, that's one of the things that I love about older saints. Every single pastor obsesses about how you can have your church reach out to more young people. We all want to reach out to young people. But I don't ever want to go to a church that doesn't have any older people. Especially after what this year has done to older people. We need older people to share their testimony of the years and the hardships that they've gone through, yet they're still holding on to the hope of the promise of God. We need the optimism of older people. I heard about these eight guys, and they're sitting around in a restaurant drinking coffee together like they regularly do, and one of them says, "My arms have gotten so weak I can hardly lift this cup of coffee." And the next one says, "My cataracts are so bad I can't even see my cup of coffee." Another one said, "Well, my hands are so crippled I have trouble writing my name." Another said, "What did you say? I can't hear you. Speak up." Another one said, "I can't turn my head to talk to you because my arthritis in my neck is so bad." And still another said, "My blood pressure pills make me so dizzy." The next one said, "Well, I guess that's just the price we pay for getting old." But the last guy said, "Hey, I think all of us should count our blessings because thank God we can all still drive." Don't you love the perspective of the older saint? Simeon and Anna did not allow life to make them jaded or cynical. Instead, they added a little extra to their weight. Did you notice the adverbs? It says, quote, that Simeon eagerly awaited. And then Anna went and spoke to all those that were, quote, waiting expectantly. You see, in the Bible, waiting is not passive. Waiting is an active reality. There is a way to do waiting right. Because here's the thing. Waiting is not an if. Waiting is a how. Life is going to make you wait. And you probably, for some, you're right there right now. You're waiting for lab results. You're waiting to see if the cancer is in remission. You're waiting for a job or a better job. You're waiting for a child to start living for Jesus. You're waiting to see if you can have a child. Can I be blunt? We are all waiting to die. And we're all waiting for Jesus to come back. The Bible talks about that in Titus chapter 2. It says, we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. So we all wait. And we're doing the ultimate wait. The wait between when Jesus came and the wait for when he comes again. And Simeon and Anna are going to teach us how to wait well. And here is the first thing that they teach us. Write it down. Keep hope alive by meeting regularly with other waiters. See, the text makes it very clear. Simeon and Anna were not occasional church goers. The temple was their second home. And Joseph and Mary are the same way. 8 days, and they're taking the baby to the temple. Jesus was 12 years old, and it's time for the festival, and they are walking all the way down to Jerusalem. They did it every single year. The Bible says that Jesus went to the synagogue, quote, as was his custom. Where did he learn that custom? His parents taught him. When the people of faith gather, we are going to be there, was their motto. Because hope cannot survive on a personal relationship to Jesus. Now, I want all of you to have a personal relationship with Jesus, but the Bible never says all you need is a personal relationship with Jesus. You need a lot more than that to keep hope alive. What hope needs to be sustained is to practice regularly with other saints gathering in worship so that we can corporately recall the track record of God and faithfulness to his people. Look at this verse with me from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. It says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. You see what he is saying? God is going to keep his promise, so we hold on to hope. But how do you do that? Keep reading in the text. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. What do? You get together whenever the church meets, because getting together keeps hope alive. Every time we gather here, we share in communion together. Do you know why? Because Jesus said to. What he said was, do this until I come back. And sharing that moment together is a way to remember that Jesus is going to keep his promise. So we meet together. And I am very thankful for technology. I am thankful that when a sick person is at home, they have the option to watch our gatherings. But that is not what God intended when he said for us to meet together. Healthy people need to be here. You need this. And we need you. You see, when we are together, especially with older saints who can inspire us to hang on to hope, Malcolm Muggeridge was a well-known writer from England, and he was a Marxist, and he believed that communism was the future. And he went to Russia to interview people in the Kremlin and to write their stories, and he was there on Easter weekend, and he went to a Russian Orthodox church, and the clergyman stood up in the pulpit, and he said to his congregation that was seated, "Christ is risen!" And the people in those pews leapt up out of their seats and said, "Christ is risen indeed!" And Muggeridge wrote, "In that moment, I can't explain it, but something happened, and I knew Stalin was wrong, and the people in that church were right." And he went on to become a strong follower of Jesus Christ and a writer of why others should be as well. You see, powerful things happen when you make going to church a regular part of your life. And listen, for some of you, it's kind of spotty. And a great resolution for you in the new year is for you to get back to being faithful and meeting with other waiters. And the text tells us you are never too young to start going to church. And you are never too old that you should stop. Another thing that you can do, keep hope alive by listening to the Holy Spirit. Simeon was a man with an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. It says the Holy Spirit was, quote, upon him. The Holy Spirit, quote, revealed to him. It says that day that, quote, the Spirit led him to the temple. You see, you don't see Jesus. You don't meet Jesus apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. And Simeon was comfortable being filled with the Holy Spirit. And that is one reason that his hope tank stayed full as well. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 5. "Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." And when you let the Holy Spirit fill you, then you will be sure of God's love. And that keeps hope alive. And by the way, that's another reason that we need to meet together regularly. Because there are Spirit-filled people in this place who can speak to us and encourage us in our hope. And here's the thing. They may seem like weirdos. I said, I don't want to go to a church that doesn't have any older people. Well, I don't want to go to a church that doesn't have any weirdos.
Amen.
Spirit-filled people are in this place. And they can speak and encourage us. See, I say I don't want to go to a church that doesn't have any weirdos because I have learned that people who are often seen as weirdos are often people who have a more intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit than I actually have. Think about it. You are at church to dedicate your baby and some old man comes up and starts dancing and says, "Now I can die! Now I can die!" And that's weird. Can you say pepper spray? And then Anna comes across as some crazy Pentecostal lady with a tambourine. And she doesn't even go home. She sleeps at church. That's weird. And I've learned that God throughout history has spoken to his people through the people that seem weird. Because they are full of the Holy Spirit. You've heard me talk a lot about my grandmother from this pulpit. When I was young, my grandmother started to tell me when I was very young, and I started to say that she started to tell me because I heard this a lot from her growing up. God is calling you, Michael, to be a preacher. And I heard from my grandma from a very young age that God had a specific plan for my life. She called it out of me. Now, God had put it into me, but she was the first person to say to me that God's call on me was to preach. And that's weird. And it's awesome. You see, people were used to see, they were very used to seeing folks walk into the temple with babies in their arms. That was very ordinary. But people that were full of the Spirit can see that God is at work where everybody else just sees, oh, that's normal. And if you want to keep hope alive, meet regularly with other waiters, listen to the Holy Spirit. And here's the third thing. Keep hope alive by putting your hope to praise. Because that was the first response of Simeon and Anna. They just immediately began to praise God. Hope must be verbalized. It cannot just be internalized. It must be sung. One of the most popular songs in the Bible can be found in Psalm 33. Look at these words. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help. He is our shield. In Him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in His holy name. May Your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in You. What is Israel doing? Israel is learning the importance of putting their hope to praise. I want to show you a picture. Most of you don't know who this is, but every single one of you have been blessed by her. Her name is Fanny Crosby. At the age of 6 months old, the doctor made a mistake, and the result was that she was blind for the rest of her life. And she wrote hundreds of hymns that many of us grew up singing. So many of her hymns have lines that talk about vision, about seeing. One of my favorites, Blessed Assurance. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight, watching, waiting, looking above. And that grand lady was able to keep hope alive all through her hard life because she put her hope to praise. By the way, that's one of the things that I love about Christmas music. Some people don't like Christmas carols. But I'd push back and I would tell you that some of the greatest theology ever put to music is in our Christmas music. Go back and look at it. Mild, He lays His glory by. Born that man no more may die. He comes to make His blessings flow. Far as the curse is found. A thrill of hope. A weary world rejoices. For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. There's a well-known guitarist in Nashville named Penn Pennington. He's in a hospital. He's battling cancer. Undergoing chemo treatment. And his nurse, Alex, was perceptive enough to know that people need more than medicine for hope. So she brought Penn her guitar, and they decided that they would sing a song together, and Penn's son was there in the room, and he videotaped it, and last year, this video went viral. Watch this. Life is hard. Hope tanks leak if you're not intentional. So we meet with God's people. We are in a constant pursuit of the filling of the Holy Spirit. We put our hope to praise, because praise helps us see what we are still waiting for. One more thing. Keep hope alive by remembering what God is doing in Jesus. Very few people would have noticed this couple walking into the temple with a baby in their arms. Happened all the time. It's just ordinary. But I'm telling you, when heaven and hell saw that baby coming, the angels started to rejoice and the demons started to tremble because they knew what was coming. Did you hear the words that Simeon prophesied? Because they were huge. He will be a light to the nations. And now he's standing, as he says this, right in the court of the Jews. And that is a place where the nations weren't even allowed to come. This old man is prophesying that this baby is going to change our whole world. This baby is going to reach the nations. This baby is going to bring into the world the kingdom of God to people that we've been excluding and leaving out of the kingdom of God. This baby is going to change everything. You see, the great temptation of Christmas is to take the king and keep him as a baby. But Simeon and Anna placed their hope in the promise of a coming Messiah who was going to make everything new. And he is. You want to keep hope alive? Then just look around at this world, at what God has started in the ministry of Jesus Christ. How God has taken on racism and classism and sexism in the days of Jesus. Nobody thought those things were even wrong. The idea that justice is for all is exclusively because Jesus came and taught us to look at people differently. He is changing the world. And ever since then, God has been making things new through Jesus and through his church by healing the sick, by feeding the hungry, by ministering to the widow and the orphan, by visiting the prisoner, by welcoming the immigrant. And it is through Jesus that God is sending light to those that live in dark. And one way you keep hope alive is you look at what God has started by the first coming and you hang around until the next. You see, it's right here in this room that we're seated in, story after story of someone who can say, because Jesus came, I'm new. You see, Christmas is an invitation to watch and wait. Life teaches us that hope is hard, but you know what? Christmas reminds us that hope is real. Maybe that's why so often in the birth narratives, the angel will say, do not be afraid. What makes us afraid? Fear exists in the place where the thing you've put your hope in is threatened. Listen to Simeon again. Now, Lord, you can let me, your servant, die in peace, as you said. With my own eyes, I have seen your salvation. Simeon had seen a salvation that could not be threatened. The salvation cannot be limited. It cannot be limited by your past. It cannot be limited by your sex. It cannot be limited by your race. Not even by your age. I love that. Christmas tells us you're never too young and you're never too old. You're never too bad to find faith and a future in Jesus. So here we are, waiting. It's not if we're going to wait. It is how. We are between the first coming and the next. And Simeon and Anna would say, keep your hope alive. God keeps his promises. So before I pray over you, I want to read this verse over you from Psalm 27. Stand up. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes. Wait patiently for the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you with all of our hearts this morning. God, knowing that you, Lord, keep your promises. God, Christmas reminds us our hope is not in vain. We know one day you're coming back and there will be no more hospitals. There will be no more graveyards. Father, we will be right with you. And it's only because of and through Jesus. Father, we love you. Hear our hearts this day.